ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಪಾದ 4 ಪ್ರಾಣೋತ್ಪತ್ತಿ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ತಥಾ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಃ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಸಿ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಪಾದ ಆಫ್ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಉತ್ಪತ್ತಿ ಅಧಿಕರಣ, ಎ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಅಧಿಕರಣ ವಿತ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ 4 ಸೂತ್ರಾಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡೀಲ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅಕರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಮುಂಡಕ ಉಪನಿಷತ್. ವಿ ಹವ್ ಸೀನ್ ದಟ್ ಸಪ್ತ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಃ ಪ್ರಭವಂತಿ ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಸಪ್ತಾರ್ಚಿಷ ಸಮಿಧ ಸಪ್ತ ಹೋಮಾಃ ಸಪ್ತ ಇಮೇ ಲೋಕಾಃ ಏಷು ಚರಂತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಾ ಗುಹಾಶಯ ನಿಹಿತ ಸಪ್ತ ಸಪ್ತ. ದಿ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬೈ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ. ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೆಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ಗನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಪ್ರಾಣ. That is established in the Chandogya Upanishad. And we mentioned about the story of a quarrel between the sense organs and prana and all among them regarding who is the supreme among them. And they conducted an experiment. And each sense organ decided to leave the body for 1 year. But it did not have significant effect on the jiva. And it was then established that the moment the prana decided to leave the body, all the sense organs lost control and they requested prana not to leave. And they accepted the prana to be supreme and sang praise of prana also. So when the word prana refers to sense organs, then it is called gauna prana. They are figuratively called prana because it is blessed by prana. All the sense organs are blessed by prana, so they are gauna prana, and all sense organs belong to the prana family. And when it talks of main prana, it is called mukhya prana, like apana prana, vyana prana, udhana, samana, all that. Therefore in this adhikaranam, pranaha means gauna pranaha, refers to the indriyas. Therefore this is indriya utpatti adhikaranam. Of course, we have the Purvapakshi Matam, who presents a seemingly contradictory statement. And one statement is Mundaka Upanishad. Etasma jayate pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyani cha, kam vayujyoti rapaha, prithivim, vishvasya dhariti. The third mantra, the second Mundaka, first section. Manaha sarva indriyani. That all sense organs are born out of Brahman. But Brahman is said in the first two mantras, tadetat satyam yata sudeeptat pavakatis pilingaha sahasrashaha prabhavante sarupaha tataakshara vividaha somya bhavaha prajayante tatra chaivapi yanti. So all these mantras. And in the third mantra it says, from this Brahman alone everything is born, including the sense organs, manaha sarva indriyani. Thus, Indriya Utpatti is said in Mundaka Upanishad Shruti. Then there is another Shruti Vakyam occurring in Shatapatha Brahmanam. There it was said that the sense organs existed before creation, Agre Asit. That means in Pralaya Kale, the sense organs existed, it says. So the Shruti says there was Asat before creation. Asat means non-existence. Asadva Idam Agre Asit. ಅಸದ್ವ ಇದಮಗ್ರ ಆಸೀತ್ ತದಾಹು ಕಿಂ ತತ್ ಅಸತ್ ಆಸೀದಿತಿ ಆಸೀತಿ ಋಷಯ ವಾವತೆ ಅಗ್ರೇ ಅಸದಾಸೀತ್ ತದಾಹು ಕೇತೆ ಋಷಯ ಇತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣವಾಕ್ ಋಷಯ ಇತಿ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಪೆಕ್ಯುಲಿಯರ್ ಡಯಲಾಗ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಟೀಚರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅಸತ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್. ದೆನ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್, ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ಮೀನ್ ಬೈ ಅಸತ್? Then the Guru says, Asat means Rishayaha, Rishis. Veda has got all peculiar language. So first there was Asat. Asat means non-existence. Non-existence means Rishis. And Rishis means Pranaha. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also we saw pranaha means sense organs. They are called rishis. So in short, the essence of the vakyam is gauna pranaha, the indriyas were there before creation. So there is a contradiction. One vakyam says indriya utpatti and another vakyam says indriya anutpatti. So utpatti anutpatti vakyayoho virodaha tasmad vedaha apramanam is the contention of Purvapakshi. Veda is not pramanam because there are contradictory statements. So we saw up to this in the last class. Now we will see the Ekadeshi Matam now, because I mentioned all this now because for continuity we want to set the context. So Purvapakshi we already saw. Now Ekadeshi we are going to see in the next sutra. Gaunya Sambhavat. This is the second sutra of the fourth pada, second chapter, 271st running Brahma Sutra. So Ekadeshi Matam says that origination has to be taken figuratively. Utpatti has to be taken figuratively only. And really, origination does not take place at all. And Vyasacharya says it is illogical to talk about figurative or secondary origination. He says, if you say so, he says to the Ekadeshi, there will be a logical problem in explaining the Upanishad. And he doesn't say what will be the logical problem, but Shankaracharya explains it in his Sankara Bhashya. So if you say the origination is a figurative thing, that is Ekadeshi's, that means sense organs are not born. That means they are anadi and they are not Brahma Karyam, because it is not an effect created by Brahman. So it's not a Brahma Karyam, it is anadi. So in the introduction to the Mundaka Upanishad, the teaching was what? Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. Here the students ask, what is that knowing which everything is known? And for that the teacher answers, it is Brahma Vidya. So according to the teacher, Brahma Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam, then alone Sarva Karya Vijnanam Bhavati. So if the sense organs are not born out of Brahman, then sense organs will not be Brahma Karyam. So all these things will be meaningful to us if we know the fundamental law that there is no Karyam without Karanam. And keeping that in mind, Mundaka Upanishad says sense organs are also born out of Brahman. And therefore, they do not exist separate from Brahman, independent of Brahman. Purushaha eva idagum sarvam. And therefore, gauni, the figurative meaning, is not possible. This is the essence of this sutra. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Gaunya sambhavat. Since figurative meaning cannot be taken, then we have to supply origination of sense organs should not be accepted. It is not said in the sutra. We have to supply those words. Origination of sense organs should be accepted. So logical problem that will come in is what? Pratigna hanihi. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnana pratigna. That will be violated. Then there'll be another problem also. What is that problem? Utpatti of sense organs, that is origination of sense organs. And if we take utpatti is real, then we have to reconcile the other Shruti Vakyam that we saw from Shatapatha Brahmanam. Shatapatha Vakyam, what said? Sense organs are not born. And this Vakyam says sense organs were there before creation, Shatapatha Brahmanam says. So this statement also has to be reconciled. Further, Shankaracharya says, if we take utpatti Vakyam as mukhyam, as the pradhana vakyam, we will take anutpatti vakyam as gaunam or figurative. That is not born. Sense organs are not born. Anutpatti vakyam, that will become figurative vakyam. That is given from a particular standpoint. And he says, he takes the example of pralaya. Pralaya is of different levels in Vedas and Puranas. They talk about pralayas of different levels. As a particular level of intermediary pralayam, that is called avantara pralayam, the entire sthula prapancha, the gross universe, is resolved into sukshma prapancha, which is Hiranyagarbha. So the total resolution does not take place. Sthula prapancha resolution alone takes place, but Hiranyagarbha continues. So in this pralayam, the avantara pralayam, this is what the case is. So from Brahmaji's angle, what happens? He created the sthula prapancha, the gross universe. Before the creation of sthula prapancha, sukshma prapancha existed and Hiranyagarbha was there. So this Hiranyagarbha Brahmaji existed even before srishti, before the sthula prapancha srishti. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano viduhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidho janaha. Krishna says that we talk about Brahmaji existing before creation of the world and even after the resolution of the world. Therefore, from the standpoint of the world, Brahmaji is unborn, because from him the creation comes and unto him the creation resolves. It is called avantara pralaya, relative resolution. And when we discuss about mahapralayam, everything resolves, including Hiranyagarbha and sukshma prapancha, into avyakrata ishvaraha. So in mahapralayam, everything resolves into avyakrata ishvaraha. Therefore, whether you keep in mind sthula srishti or sukshma srishti, depending upon our statement, the whatever has to become avantara pralayam or this mahapralayam, we should be able to understand. And Shatapatha Brahmanam talks about the existence of sukshma prapancha before creation of sthula prapancha. Therefore, agre means what? Sthula prapancha srishte purvam. Before the srishti of sthula prapancha, sukshma prapanchaha asit. Asadva idam agra asit, that sukshma prapancha, it was there. Just as before, for example, the younger brother, elder brother existed. That does not mean elder brother is anadi. If you accept sukshma prapancha existed before sthula srishti, then you have to accept the sense organs, since sense organs are part of sukshma prapancha. Sense organs are part of sukshma prapancha. I say those words very liberally here. Please refer to Tattva Bodha if you cannot relate to it. Therefore, we have to conclude that the sense organs existed before origination of the world. But still, sense organs are born of karana prapancha, the causal universe. And we have to accept sense organs utpatti and its anutpatti is figurative. Anutpatti is figurative. This is how we reconcile. Therefore, what is the difference between Ekadeshi Matham and Siddhanti? Ekadeshi said utpatti hi gauni, figurative. And anutpatti is mukhya. Whereas Siddhanti said utpatti is mukhya and anutpatti is gauni. Anutpatti is figurative, utpatti, srishti is only mukhya of sense organs, prana. Therefore, our reconciliation only is correct, is the contention of Siddhanti. So this is the difference between the Siddhanti and Ekadeshi. And we want to just mention one more point also. Another problem may come if you remember the previous part of Brahma Sutra. In the previous part of Brahma Sutra, there was another sutra. In Brahma Sutra, second chapter, third pada, third sutra, it is the same sutra occurs there also. And if you go back there, Shankaracharya has given a totally different meaning, and he has taken it as two separate words, Gauni and Asambhavat. Gauni and Asambhavat as two different words, whereas here, in this sutra, he takes it as one compound word, Gaunya Sambhavat. So how can one explain the same sutra in two different ways? If we ask, Shankaracharya says, the previous sutra is Purvapakshi Sutra, and the very same sutra here is Siddhanta Sutra. And how can I explain Purvapaksha Sutra and Siddhanta Sutra in the same way? Therefore, Shankaracharya gives different meaning. Now let us see the significance of the word Gaunya Sambhavat. It is taken as a compound word, as I mentioned, consisting of Gauni and Asambhavat. It is Shashti Tatpurusha, Gaunyaha Asambhavaha, Gaunya Sambhavaha. So the illogicality of interpretation of figurative or secondary origination. So that is what is to be taken. So we have to take it as primary origination. So this is a simple grammatical significance of this compound word. So incidental point, just we Acharya mentioned, so I included here. Let us go to the next sutra. Tat prakshrutescha. Tat prakshrutescha. This is the third sutra, fourth pada, second chapter, 272, running Brahma Sutra. And here also an argument in support of the previous sutra is given. First, let us see the general analysis of this sutra. Here, Vyasacharya asks us to observe the Mundaka Upanishad mantra, the mantra that we just quoted in the previous sutra, in second Mundaka, first section, third mantra, which is the controversial mantra. What that mantra says, etasmat jayate pranaha manaha sarvendriyani cha kham vayu jyotirapa prithivi vishvasya dharini. So etasmat jayate is the beginning of this Mundaka mantra. Now in the first two mantras, 2.1.1 and 2.1.2 of Mundaka Upanishad, Brahman has been talked about. Tadedat satyam yatasu deeptad pavakatis pulingaha sahasrashaha prabhavanti. All those things, that is the first two mantras also, they talk about Brahman. And from this Brahman is born all these other things. Now question is what? What is born? When from this Brahman is born, means what is born? And the Upanishad gives a list. Pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyani cha. Then followed by all the elements. So all are born out of Brahman. So the verb jayate must be added to everything. Even though it is advanced, it's to be added to everything. Brahman originates each one. The verb jayate, it is mentioned only once in the mantra. First prana was created, sense organs are mentioned, and the second line, five elements are mentioned. Now Vyasacharya argues, in the third pada, we have established that the pancha bhuta utpatti is in primary sense of the term. The third pada, kam vayu jyoti rapa prithvi vishvasya dharani. In that, we said the pancha bhuta utpatti, the five elements, is in the primary sense of the term. So pancha bhuta utpatti is seen to be mukhya and not gauna, figurative or secondary. We have already shown that pancha bhuta is primary and not secondary in previous sutras. So Vyasacharya says, the same jayate, the same verb is used for the sense organs also. Therefore, the verb of origination is commonly used for sense organs and elements. And from the previous pada, we know that the verb used for the elements are from primary sense, and the same verb is used for sense organs also. And that jayate, that verb also must be mukhyam and not gaunam. It should be mukhyam, the verb should be mukhyam also, should not be figurative. Therefore, elements and sense organs, both of them are also born in primary sense. Now let us do the word analysis. First, running meaning. Cha means moreover. Prakshrutehe. Since the origination of the sense organs is mentioned earlier, prak means earlier, before, in the mantra, the origination must be in the primary sense we have to supply. It only says prakshrutehe only, it says since the origination of the sense organ is mentioned the earlier mantra, shruti means here earlier mantra, we have to take the origination must be in the primary sense. Creation must be in the primary sense of the sense organs. And the sutra looks very vague actually. Now we have to see the significance of the words, then only we can understand this better. Tat, the word tat means tatra. Tatra means in the Mundaka mantra 2.1.3. It refers to that mantra. The mantra of contention is the Mundaka mantra here, Mundaka Upanishad mantra. Prakshrutehe means prakshravanat. It is heard earlier. Prak means before, earlier. Shravanat, heard. It is heard earlier. So shruti, shruti here refers to shravanam. And it is mentioned or it is heard. And the sensory origination is before the origination of the elements. The origination of sense organs is before the origination of elements, as the sense organs is mentioned before the origination of elements in this mantra, Mundaka mantra, that we just read. So here verb jayate is common. sense organs utpatti is also primary because we have already concluded that the elements are born out of Brahman. So both should be equally taken as mukhya, as primary. Then only it will read correctly. And that word cha is a conjunction because it is an additional argument in continuation of the previous sutra that we just read. So this is the cha is a conjunction with the previous sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra. Tat purvakatvat vachaha. Fourth mantra, fourth pada, second chapter, 273rd running Brahma Sutra. So another argument in support of the second sutra is given here. First, let us do the general analysis. Now, Ekadeshi comes and he argues, he asks the Advaitins actually, sense organs are unborn based on the saying in the Shatapatha Brahmana, the mantra we just read. So Shatapatha Brahmanam says sense organs are not born. And you want to prove that sense organs are born out of Brahman. He is telling the Siddhanti, you want to prove that sense organs are born out of Brahman and you quote the Mundaka mantra, which is favorable to you. Because first two mantras are all favorable, we are quoting those mantras. Now Ekadeshi says, why cannot you look at some other Upanishad Vakyam? Why you take only Mundaka mantra? In Chandogya, it is said, from Brahman, Indriya Utpatti is not mentioned. From Brahman, Indriya Utpatti, the Utpatti of sense organs is not mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, second mantra. Kutastu kalusomya evagumsya ditiho vacham katam asataka sajjayeti. Sattveva somya idamagra asit ekameva advitiyam. Here it is categorically it is said that all the organs, they are only products of elements. The elements in their turn, they originate from Brahman. So sense organs, they are products of elements, panchabhutas. And the panchabhutas, they in turn, they are all caused by Brahman. So the Upanishad does not talk about Indriya Utpatti at all. So how do you say sense organs are born of Brahman? Now Vyasacharya says, if you look at the Upanishad mantra properly, sense organs are born out of elements. That's what it says. So instead of saying they are born out of Brahman, it says they are born out of elements, which are in turn born out of Brahman. That means ultimately sense organs are born only. So in one Brahman, it is said to be direct cause. In another place, it is said as secondary cause, indirect cause. So the ultimate Mula Karanam is Brahman only. And sense organs are born directly out of elements and indirectly born out of Brahman. Actually, it is said also in the fourth section of the sixth chapter elaborately also in Chandogya Upanishad. Therefore, walk here refers to not just only Vagindriyam, sense organs in general. So it is born out of, so the walk, the sense organ walk is born out of Agni Tattvam and Agni is born out of Brahman. And therefore, all the sense organs represented by walk, they originate, they are born from Brahman only. And this is the essence of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Vachaha. Vachaha means since the organ of speech is a product of the fire element, Agni, it is indirectly born of Brahman, we have to supply. Vachaha only it says, since the organ of speech is a product of fire element, it is indirectly born of Brahman. Now let us see the significance of the words. Vachaha. Vachaha means the vak indriyam. Tat purvakatvat. Tat stands for Agni Bhutam, the element Agni. Tad karyatvat, vakindriyam being a product of Agni element and Agni being a product of Brahman. Therefore, vakindriyam is born out of Brahman only ultimately. That is said in the Mundaka Upanishad. And lastly, Shankaracharya introduces another point also. He takes Chandogya Upanishad mantra, 6th chapter, 5th section, 3rd mantra that says, mind is annamayaha, prana is apomayaha and vak is tejomayaha. So here we will see, people can get very confused on the suffix mayaha. Mayaha here means product. Mind is the product of earth element. Annamayaha refers to the earth element. Prana is the product of water element, apaha. And vak is the product of agni element. And the Purvapakshi argues, how can you take the meaning in such a way? If mind is the product of water element, then I will not have the mind. Right? If mind is the product of water element, I will not have the mind. Before eating food, before drinking water, I will not have mind at all. I have to drink water to get mind. If prana is product of water, before drinking water, I will not have prana. Therefore, how can you say that the mind is for a product of food? Prana is product of water and vak is the product of agni. So you should call it a nourisher only, not as product. All this agni, water, and all those things, you should call them only nourisher and not born out of water. Vagindriyam, mind, all those things are not the product of the elements, but they are only nourished by the elements like earth, water, agni, and all that. This is the argument of the Purvapakshi. For which again Shankaracharya gives his reply. In this context, the word mayaha does not mean the product. It has got gauna artha, a figurative meaning, and it does not have the primary meaning of the product. Shankaracharya clears. Even though this sentence says primarily elements are nourishers only, but by implication, Shruti wants to say sense organs are born of Brahman only. That is the implication. Therefore, the conclusion is what? Sense organs are born out of elements. Elements are born out of Brahman, and ultimately sense organs are born out of Brahman only. How do you know elements produce sense organs? Is the question posed by Purvapakshi. How do you know elements produce sense organs? And we find in Chandogya Upanishad, the Shvetaketu completes his education, and as he comes back home, the father asks the question, did you ask for that knowledge by knowing which everything is known? That is the question asked by his father to Shvetaketu. Eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam. This is the essence of Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter. So in both of them, eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam is the Upanishad's intention. And that is possible under only one condition, that eka vastu should be the karanam. That one vastu only should be the karanam, and everything else must be karyam, either directly or indirectly. Everything other than Brahman must be born later, which means that even space, akashaha, must be a product only. If space is eternal, eka vijnanena sarva vijnanam will not be possible. And therefore, he has to prove that space is a karyam, is an effect. It is a karanam with a different vesham, because from space other things came. But it is only a karyam from Brahman. If the space itself is a product, what to talk of the miserable, the sense organs? How can you argue that sense organs is original? Therefore, accept they are born out of Brahman. That is our answer to him. So by implication, it should mean all organs are born out of Brahman only. And therefore, pranaha is also born. With this, that Purvapakshi has also been answered. So with that, fourth sutra is over. This adhikaranam is also over. First adhikaranam of the fourth pada is also over. In the second sutra, Ekadeshi Matam has been answered directly by Vedavyasa. Therefore, Gauni Anutpattihi is Purvapakshi, and Ekadeshi Mukhya Anutpattihi is our Siddhanta. Now we will go to the next adhikaranam. Saptagatyadhikaranam, the second topic. Saptagatehe Visheshitatvacham. Saptagatehe Visheshitatvacham. Fifth Sutra, fourth Pada, second chapter, 274th running Brahma Sutra. We will see the general introduction to this adhikaranam with only two sutras. Here, the subject matter of discussion is with respect to the number of organs and the antakaranas. So we have Purvapakshi, we have Ekadeshi and Siddhanta, all three. And the Purvapakshi says that the Upanishads are full of contradiction. He just starts with that premise all the time. It never mentions one particular number of organs in different contexts. And the lowest number of organs mentioned is 7. Highest is 13. 13 organs. And Mundaka Upanishad, second Mundaka, first section, 8th mantra mentions 7. Sapta pranaha prabhavanti tasmat sapta artisha samida sapta homaha sapta ime loka yeshu charanti prana guhashaya nihita sapta sapta. Sapta is 7. It has been confirmed elsewhere also in the Taittiriya Samhita. The fifth kanda, third section, third, second dap, and third prashna, second dap, mantra, third mantra. Saptavala, sattavala kilyaha, purasthade upadadati, sapta paschate, saptavai shirshanya pranaha, saptavai shirshanya pranaha. Important line. Indeed, saptavai, indeed, 7 organs, saptavai, 7 organs are there. Most of it are on the head only. The eyes, the ears, the nose. Therefore, we have to conclude there are only 7 organs. And suppose if one asks how to explain the other mantras which say 8, 9, 10, 13, all those. And he says, 7 alone are there. The other numbers should be included in this 7. See, when we say Buhu, Buvaha, Subaha, when we say Subaha, all the other upper lokas are also included in that. Similarly, he says the 7 includes all the other organs also. And not only that, whenever there is confusion, you choose the lesser number. Because as the number increases, it is called Gaurava Doshaha. Because managing of large numbers is very difficult. Therefore, always vote for lesser number. Therefore, organs are 7 only. This is Ekadeshi Mata, given in this sutra. Now let us do the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Running meaning sapta. Sapta means the sense organs are 7 in number. Gatehe means since that is understood from. Understood from where? The Shruti statements we have to supply. The Shruti statements is the Vedic statements. And visheshi tatvat. And since that is specified elsewhere we have to supply. It is not mentioned here, specified elsewhere. Now we'll see the significance of the words. Sapta, sense organs are only 7. Pranaha, this is pranaha refers to sense organs, as we told earlier. And why do we say so? Gatehe. Gatehe means the word gatihi means avagatihi, our understanding. In fact, Shankaracharya gives actually 2 meanings to the sutra. We will confine one to only one. I took only one meaning here. Yeah, the other meaning quite unnecessary to confuse too much. So gatihi means, according to the first interpretation, it means avagatihi. Avagatihi refers to actually jnana. And that is what we understand. Avagatihi means the jnana. So gatehe is actually here panchami. Heto panchami also. And we understand this number from where? The 7 from the Mundaka mantra, Mundaka Shruti, 2.1.8. Then visheshitattvat means visheshitattvam refers to that has been further emphasized. That's what it means. Visheshitattvam means further emphasized. Where Vyasacharya does not say that we have to specify. That is from Shankara Bhashyam. We can see it is from the Taittiriya Samhita. The Kandam. That is actually 1.7.1. So how is it specified there? Saptavai. We read that mantra there from Taittiriya. The Samhita, we read that mantra, Saptavai. Saptavai is, it is the emphasis, Avadharana. So in fact, the Taittiriya Samhita says, Saptavai Sirshanya Pranaha, indicating that the sense organs are in the shiras, in the head, in the form of what? Eyes, ears, nose, and all that. Therefore, we have to conclude that sense organs are 7. And the additional reason is what? Lagavacha. It is lagu, only 7, not 13 and 14. Taking less number is better. This is the Ekadeshi Mata. Now we are going to take the Siddhanta in the next sutra. And in the previous sutra, the cha is there. It is only for joining the two hetus, gatehe and viseshitattvat. Because of these two reasons, it's just for information. The other number given by Shruti are what? In Brihad, this is, I mentioned that there are 8, 9, 10, all those numbers are also given for the sense organs in other Shrutis. Just for completion, I will only mention those places. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the third chapter, second section, first mantra, it gives the number 8. So 8 grahas and 8 adigrahas are there. Atahainam jarat karava artha bhagappa pracham yajnavalketi ho vacha katigrahaha katyagdigraha atigraha iti ashtav graha ashtavadigraha iti. So yeteshtav graha ashtavadigraha katameta iti. This is how the conversation went in that particular section. And Taittiriya Samhita, fifth kanda, third prashna, second mantra, and third mantra, they both say they are 9. 7 are the pranas of the head, 2 others are the lower ones. And in Prashna Upanishad, it places the number 13. In the fourth prashna, eighth mantra, it also says it number 13. It's a prithivicha, prithivi matracham, apascha, apo matracham, tejascha, tejo matracham, vayuscha, vayu matracham, akashascha, akasha matracham, chakshuscha, drashtavyancham, shrotrancha, shrotavyancham, granancha, gratavyancham, rasascha, rasagitavyamcham, tvakcham, sparshayitvancham, vakcham, paktavyancham, hastavcham, adatavyamcham, and upastascham, anandayitatvamcham, payuscham, visarjayitavyamcham, yadavcham, gandavyancham, manascham, mantavyancham, buddhischa, bodhavyancham, ahankarascha, ahankartavyancham, chittancham, chetayitavyancham, tejascham, vidyotayitavyancham, pranascham, vidharayitashvyamcham. So it says all that thing, the eye, the nose, all those things, what can be seen, eye, what can be seen, what can be smelled, what can be heard. It says, talks about all of them. So this is the scriptural passages. They disagree about the number of pranas, number of organs. And the Purvapakshi says that Shruti contradicts in so many places. Therefore, Shruti is apramanam. And our Siddhanta says that the number of sense organs are 11. And Ekadeshi says the view that we should accept the number as 7. So Sutra number 5 relates to Ekadeshi. Sutra number 6 relates to Siddhanta. And Ekadeshi says that the number of organs are 7 in number because Sapta has been mentioned with the emphasis. Actually, Sapta Vai. So in several places, particularly Taittiriya Samhita, it says that the pranas are 7 in number very clearly. That is Ekadeshi's argument. Let us go to the next sutra. Sixth sutra. Hastadayastu stithehe ato naivam. Hastadayastu stithehe ato naivam. This is the sixth sutra, fourth pada, second chapter, 275th running Brahma Sutra. So the sutra 5, the previous sutra, refuted, and the actual number of pranas, the senses, that is ascertained there. First, we will do the general analysis of the sutra. Here Vyasacharya says that Ekadeshi's conclusion is wrong, being non-comprehensive. Vyasacharya says 7 is wrong, but he does not give the number himself. But Shankaracharya mentions them to be 11. Vyasacharya does not give the number as 11, whereas Shankaracharya in his Bhashyam gives it as 11. So when you take 7, the problem is what? 7 includes only 4 Jnanendriyas according to him. The 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, and 1 mouth. They are taken to be 7. Therefore, Ekadeshi talks of 7 apertures found in the head. In fact, the 7 apertures relate to only 4 Jnanendriyas. Sight, hearing, smelling, and tasting. Then the skin is not included, touch. So if skin is included, then it will become 8. So none of the 4 Indriyas can function as skin Indriyam. All the other 4 Indriyas, they cannot function like Tvag Indriyam, the skin Indriyam. Secondly, for argument's sake, let us assume that the 4 Jnanendriyas include skin also, even though it is not possible, but we'll, for argument's sake, even if we include, then the Karmendriyas are not included. So if you include Karmendriyas, then mind will not be included. So the function of mind cannot be done by any sense organs. Then we arrive at 11 organs. Each of them is born out of each element also. And the mind has a unique function, and in the mind we have four functions also, namely manas, buddhi, chitta and ahankara. We told it is antakaranam, inner equipment consisting of four functions, and all the four make one antakaranam. So within the 11 other numbers, it can be just all the numbers can be justified with respect reference to the context. So if the number is 12, one mind total is 11. If the number is 12 indriyas, if we say, then the one mind can be counted as two, mind and buddhi. If it is 13, one mind can be counted as mind, buddhi and chitta. Then fourth means ahankara also. So lesser number is mentioned because it can always be included in the higher numbers. So lesser than 11 means it is included in the 11. And if it is more, the antakaranam is counted. Instead, 1, 2, more than 1. So now we will do the word analysis. So that is the conclusion of Siddhanti 11. Now we will do the word for word analysis now. Hastadayaha. Hastadayaha means all the rest is taken as the sense organs. Hastadayaha. Hastam and all that. Sthitehe. Sthitehe means they cannot be included in the 7. They cannot be included in the 7. They means the hands and all. Hastadayaha. Hastam. Hand and all. Karmendriyas cannot be included in that 7. Ataha, therefore, evam, such a condition, na is not proper, is not correct. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. So hastadeha means the hands, etc. They refer to the karmendriyas. So other karmendriyas also, organs of action also, are mentioned in the sastra, which cannot be included if the numbers are taken as 7. 2 indicates the negation of Purvapakshi. Sthitehe. Sthitehe means because of these reasons, this being so, the significance of that is what is meant by the sthitehe. So the 7 numbers are comprehensive because it includes only, not comprehensive, because it includes only Jnanendriyam and not Karmendriyams. Ataha evam. And therefore, your conclusion that 7 are the organs is not comprehensive at all. All the 5 sense organs are important because one cannot do the function of the other, but in your case, it includes only 4. So each sense organ has to be enumerated, and each karmendriya is to be enumerated, and mind has to be enumerated. And Sangharacharya says, mind has a unique function also. All the organs only sense the present things. This is, we don't pay attention to this kind of small information. All the organs can only see present things. That is Vartamana Kala Prapancha. The hand cannot touch the object which was there in the past, or the child which will be born in the future date. So also the eyes. I cannot hear a sound in future, or I cannot replay the sound yesterday. Mind can know the past and it can know the future. The mind alone contacts the existence of the past and also what is to come in the future. So the 11 is the ideal number. It is what is Siddhanti's answer. Ekadeshi we have answered. We have also answered Purvapakshi. So 11 is the answer that is given by Siddhanti. Let us go to the next sutra. Anavascha, 7th sutra, 4th pada, 2nd chapter, 276th running Brahma Sutra. So in the 4th pada, 2nd chapter, Vyasacharya deals with the Baudhika Shruti Virodha Pariharaha. If you remember, the second chapter is called Shruti Virodha Pariharaha, Shruti Virodha Dhyayaha it is. So here, Baudhika Shruti Virodha Parihara is the elemental. That is what is dealt with here, the fourth pada. So the Shruti, which seemingly contradictory, particularly with respect to the Sukshma Sharira, the sense organs. First, he has taken a prana, which means here the sense organs. Here, prana means sense organs. Prana is taken in the secondary sense of the term. Gauna Pranaha. And in the first adhikaranam, Vyasa dealt with prana utpatti, origination of prana, in the first adhikaranam. And in the second adhikaranam, he talks about the number of sense organs. And now he talks about the size of prana, the sense organs. Prana sankhya, we also saw it as 11. So pancha jnanendriyas, 5 karmendriyas, and 1 antakaranam, consisting of manas, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara. And now the nature and size of sense organs is now ascertained here. First, let us see a general introduction of this adhikaranam, which has only one sutra. This is called Prana Anutva Adhikarana. Prana Anutva Adhikaranam. And the subject matter in this adhikaranam is the size of the sense organs. And in the scriptures, the measurements are discussed as three. We have seen this elsewhere also. Anuhu, Vibhuhu, and Madhyama. Smallest, biggest, and medium-sized. Indriyas have Madhyama Parimanaha. This is the view of Vyasacharya. Vyasacharya says the indriya, sense organs are Madhyama Parimanaha. So all measurements are classified, as I told, Anutvam, Vibhutvam, all others in between, smallest and the biggest, they are come under Madhyama Parimana. All sense organs are Madhyama Parimana according to Vyasacharya. But Vyasacharya uses the word Anuhu. He could have very well used Madhyama Parimana, Madhyama, but he used the word Anuhu, which means Madhyama Parimana only. When you use the word Anu, it is Madhyama Parimana only. And in this Adhikaranam also, we have Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi, and Siddhanta. And the Purvapakshi says that Shruti is self-contradictory. Immediately he will say. In some places, it says sense organs are all pervading. And in some other places, it says sense organs are finite in nature. Actually, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter, ninth section, fourth mantra, Katame Rudra Iti Dasheme Purushe Pranaha Atmaika Dashaha Te Yada Asmat Sharirat Matyat Utkramanti Atarodhayanti Tadyadrodhayanti Tasmat Rudro Iti. The sense organs go out of the body at the time of death. And when they go out, it is the time of death. And one who dies and the one who also cries, both the one who dies also cries, and the one who all those nearby also cry. So since 11 sense organs go and people cry, they are symbolically sense organs. They are called Rudraha. So according to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Ekadasha Rudra represents Ekadasha Indriyas only, 11 Indriyas, sense organs. So from the Shruti Vakyam, it is clear that the sense organs leave the body. And if they are to leave the body and travel, they are necessarily to be temporary in nature. As you permanent, that means there will be no such movement, nothing. They are Madhyama Parimana only, because they are temporary in nature. And there is another Brihadaranyaka Vakyam in the first chapter, fifth section, 13th mantra, that says, Tayete Sarva Eva Samaha Sarve Anantaha. This mantra says all sense organs are samaha. That, of course, that's not relevant to us now. We'll take the other one, anantaha. Anantaha means they are sarvagataha, aparichinnaha, all pervading. So in one place, the Upanishad says they are finite. And at another place, they say they are infinite. Therefore, Purvapakshi immediately says Shruti is contradicting, not worth reading. So, apramana, virodhat. Now, Ekadeshi, he comes. And the unfortunate problem with him is what? Ekadesi's intention is good, but he reconciles wrongly. And what is that? He says, sense organs are anantaha only. They are really all pervading. And this is the view taken by the Sankhya philosophers also. They also say sense organs are all pervading. Therefore, Ananta Shruti is the Mukhya Shruti and it is the primary meaning according to them. Naturally, he has to reconcile the other statement. And we ask the question, if you say sense organs are all pervading, how do you explain the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad third chapter Vakyam, third chapter, ninth section, fourth mantra, which we just read, where sense organs are supposed to move about? For that, he says, I mean, these are interesting statements. That statement, he says, is only secondary. It is only Gauni Shruti, figurative. And the meaning should not be taken seriously in the primary sense. And he gives his explanation also, which is interesting. Ekadeshi says that sense organs do not go out, but only the golakam. Golakam means the physical body, indriyam and golakam. I hope all those differences are known to you. Otherwise, go to Tattvabodha. The physical body, golakam, with the physical part of the sense organs, they die away. That only the die away. Physical body dies away. With the physical part of the sense organs, there's a golakam, die away. And the very same golakam or a similar body is created elsewhere in another body when he takes another birth. And then what happens? The conditioned sense organs in this body is gone. And elsewhere, like the gata akasham, sharira avachinna indriyam is elsewhere. So this is gone to another body. That is, sense organs are everywhere, but physical body is obtaining here, according to him. So he says, the sense organ conditioned by the body alone can function. It is exactly like what Chaitanya. Chaitanya is what? Body enclosed to Chaitanya alone is recognizable. The body, Chaitanya enclosed in the body, that alone is recognizable, even though Chaitanya is outside also. Just as you say, Chaitanya is all pervading, and just as you say that body enclosed to Chaitanya alone is recognizable, similarly, I say sense organs are all pervading, but body enclosed sense organs only function, and when the body enclosure is gone, sense organs survive. Where? Everywhere. This is according to him, because sense organ is all pervading according to this Yagadesha. Sense organs continue to exist here also, but the enclosure body is gone at death, and therefore it doesn't function as a sense organ. Then what happens? When a new body is created elsewhere, then we have got the sense organ conditioned by a new body, and that part is able to function. That is his argument. Thus, avacheda bhedena, the sense organ, seemingly they travel. The travel does not belong to the organ. It belongs to the enclosing shariram only. Are the enclosing golakam only. So he says, golaka vachanna indriyam karyam karot, karyam karoti, golakam anavachanna indriyam sarvatra vartate, it is there everywhere, parantu karyam na karoti, it doesn't function. Why don't we take it like this? That is his argument. Yekadeshi tries to peculiarly, he manages this particular thing. So this is Yekadeshi Sankhya Mata. Both of them, they are of the same opinion. And then we give the Siddhanta in the sutra, which is the Anavascha Iti Sutra. That is the name of the sutra. Now we will do the general analysis of the sutra. Vyasacharya says, sense organs are not all pervading and they are finite only. Every physical body has got a set of separate sense organs of its own. There is no question of one all pervading sense organ. Vyasacharya does not give the logic or reasoning. For the reasoning, we have to go to Shankara Bhashyam as usual. And before that, we will see the word analysis of this sutra. Anavahacha, anavascha, anavahacha. They are of medium size or dimension only. Because I told you in this sutra, anu means madhyama parimana. And this is the running name. Now we will see the significance of the words. Anavaha. Anavaha is a plural number. Anuhu, anu, anavaha. So it is used because sense organs are many. So it is used in plural number. And we have to supply gauna pranaha anavaha. All the secondary pranas, figurative pranas, that is namely sense organs, they are all of medium size. Prana means sense organs. Parichinna madhyama parimanaha. Then the question comes, why should Vyasacharya use the word anuhu, which is a confusing word? Because as we told earlier, he could have used the word madhyama itself. Why he used the word anuhu? Why he had not used the word madhyama parimana? He should have some significance in the mind. And the significance for using the word anu is, not only they are of finite measurements, they are not perceptible, sukshma, to the sense organs also. So anuhu not only refers to medium size, but also to sukshmatvam, indriya agocharatvam. Sense organs are not perceptible to sense organs. Sense organs are not perceptible to sense organs. My sense organs, I cannot see. Sense organ means, anyway, I will come to that. My sense organs, I cannot see. Okay, can I see at least your sense organs? Vyasacharya says, anavaha, I cannot see your sense organs also. Then one may ask the question, we see other person's eyes, tongue, nose, everything I see. Then how do you say it? We don't see them. For this, what is the answer? We have to go back to only Tattva Bodha, where it is said, physical part of sense organs are not indriyam, but they are called golakam. You see only the golakam. The ear lobe that you see is the golakam, not the hearing power. The shrotrendriyam you don't see. You see only shrotram, the golakam. They are visible. And they are in the dead body also. But the indriyam is not there, but the golakam is there. Your lobes are there in the dead body. Power of hearing is not there. Therefore, pranaha sukshmaha indriya agocharaha. Pranas are only subtle. Then Shankaracharya writes, if sense organs are visible, then Sukshma Shariram also will be visible. And if Sukshma Shariram is visible, then we can see sense organs going after death. They can be seen from the body. It is not possible. You cannot see even a Jnani Sukshma Shariram or Karana Shariram or Atma traveling. Remember, all the light and all those things going on death of a Jnani, they have no relevance. People normally say, oh, a Jyoti came out of his body and all when he died. Therefore, Sukshma Shariram must be Sukshma. Cannot be seen. Hence, Vyasacharya uses the word Anavaha. Anu has also two meanings. One is Madhyama Parimana, intermittent, in between size, and also Indriyam Agocharasyam, not perceptible by Indriyas. This is the significance of the word Anuho. And the next word is Cha. Cha means and. It is just for combining the previous sutra. That is, pranas are 11 in number and they are finite. So 11 in number from the previous adhikaranam and finite also in this adhikaranam anavascha. So samuchayartha chakaraha. Now we have to answer the Ekadeshi and Purvapakshi. And Shankaracharya answers, the statement sense organs are finite or infinite occurs only very rarely. But even though those people claim sense organs are infinite, Ekadeshi and all, Sankhya and all, they occur only very, very rarely. But we have many Shruti statements that say sense organs, the sense organs, they leave the body. Many Shruti statements say that. In Smriti also, Bhagavad Gita says, Mama Ivam Sho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaham Mana Shattani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. 15th chapter. Therefore, we have more Shruti Pramanam, Smriti Pramanam and all that. The sense organs travel after death. And therefore, we have to give primary meaning for travel for sense organs. So if you give the primary meaning, the sense organs are finite in nature, then wherever it is said the sense organs are infinite, it is in the context of what? In the Upanishad itself, it says, it is in the context of Upasana. In the first chapter, 5th section, 13th mantra, Brihadaranyaka, we saw earlier, it says sense organs are says to be Anantaha. If you remember that, we quoted that mantra today, Anantaha. Infinite. It is for those people who practice upasana that the sense organs are said to be infinite. They are seen as infinite. So he says that why cannot we take sense organs as all pervading and divide them into two? One close, enclosed in the physical body and another not enclosed. These are all arguments by them. I told you in the enclosure body and all that. So he says that indriyams enclosed one, you can perceive, and unenclosed one, you cannot perceive, because you say that indriyas cannot be seen. Okay, the indriyam enclosed one, you can perceive, and unenclosed indriyam, you cannot perceive. The enclosure moves from, so if not the indriyam moves, the enclosure moves from place to place, and as the enclosure moves, you can perceive the indriyam moving. Hence, the enclosed sense organs also seem to move. Padi Shankaracharya says, suppose you perceive enclosed sense organs and you do not see the unenclosed sense organs. You imagine enclosed sense organs are moving, unenclosed sense organs, both of them. You say unenclosed sense organs, you do not see. Whereas enclosed sense organs you see. This is far-fetched imagination. Enclosed sense organs you see, it is enclosed and you say you see. And unenclosed sense organs you don't see. It is far-fetched imagination according to Shankaracharya. So Shankaracharya concludes, sense organs are only finite and sense organs travel, and this is the view of Siddhantin. Then we have to refute the Purvapakshi Matam, and it says Shruti contradicts itself saying sense organs are infinite in some places, finite in some other places. Finitude is factual, infinitude should be taken as Gauna Vakyam for Upasana, and therefore there is no contradiction in the sutra also. That is what Siddhanti answers Purvapakshi. So with this, the third adhikaranam is also over. We will go to the fourth adhikaranam in the next class. Yo veda adau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah sri krishnaatma purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti 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 shri gurubhyo namaha shri krishnaatma.